The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns Clippers now.
Is it bad that I get thirsty every time I hear Four Peaks Kilt Lifter? Is anybody okay with that? Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf. We're live, Auction Community Studios. And this is Inside the Locker Room that we do Wednesdays at 9 o'clock, where we talk whatever's hot, but more in a locker room atmosphere. But this is going to be a little strange because we've got Max Starks, football player, Ron Wolfley, I guess football player.
Yeah.
Even though...
used to be.
Yeah, yeah. But then the media's been allowed in because I'm here and Gambo's here as well. So it's still media and it's the locker room. So I want to start with you, Gambo, because I bet fans are going crazy right now wanting to know the latest. What do you have on CP3 this morning?
Yeah, the latest I heard, and I checked in with people in the Suns organization today, is just that they're optimistic. They're optimistic that he is going to be available to play in Game 3. You know, even to the point where, you know, the conversation was much about passing a kind of a mini physical that he would have to pass that would be administered, from my understanding, by team doctors of the Suns. So it's a medical protocol that would have to be passed by Suns team doctors. It's basically a cardiac screening. There could be some thickening of the walls. They just have to make sure that's not the case. It's a long word. It's a word that I probably couldn't pronounce, so I'm not going to. But myo something or other.
Myocarditis, I believe.
Okay, there it is. That's not something I'm going to try to pronounce. I'll make sure Bernie knows what it is when it comes up. But that would be the step that also has to happen for him to play. So I've heard, you know, again, just the optimistic that he could be available in Game 3. There'd be a medical protocol that has to be passed by Suns team doctors, basically a mini physical just to make sure he's okay on with a cardiac screening and passing that myo thing that you just mentioned.
Yeah, with those Suns team doctors, does that mean that he's here? Is he here? Do you know that? Or are they going to go see him?
There's a lot of speculation. Well, the Suns team doctors would be here. They wouldn't be in L.A. If he's trying to pass that in the last 24 hours. Well, today they'll all be in L.A. But a lot of people are speculating that they saw Chris Paul on the FaceTime with a mask on. And, okay, if he had a mask on, why wouldn't be wearing a mask in his home if he was home? So there is speculation out there, and I don't know the answer to this, if is it possible that he wasn't at home, that he was here, you know, meeting with Suns doctors. I don't know that. I imagine somebody would have seen him somehow and said something like that. But again, the only thing I can tell you, and I don't know, Eddie, because it's still HIPAA laws and his health, and so – you know, there's not a lot of information out there unless it's coming from him, but there is a lot of optimism that he will be available for Game 3.
Max Starks, you've had some special playoff moments, one that we don't remember at all that didn't really happen, others that were counted and are important, and then some defeats that you probably don't like to remember. What's it like to go into a playoff and think, we don't have our guy, and then you hear Gambo or you get media reports that are saying, hey, I think he's playing?
Well, I mean, when you hear this information, and this is also, you know, when else do you go shorthanded in the games 1 and 2, win those games, and get better by game 3 potentially?
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't happen. And when you think about just the guts that it took for that team to gut it out, I mean, Paul George kind of going on that run at the end to give them the back and forth with the score, but to then ultimately have such a play from, you know, two guys that James Jones handpicked, right? He went and got Jay Crowder from the Heat's team from last year off of his performance. And then, of course, your number one overall pick. And to have that precision to pull off that type of gutsy play, I give all the credit to Monty Williams for dialing it up and for them not practicing it and for it to execute so well. But, you know, my question I do have for Gambo is, so – the screening is going to obviously have to either have happened or going to happen today. Does he then fly in once he's cleared, Gambo? Is that what it is? He'll fly in today, or is that one of those things where he's flying in on game day? Do you know any more about that?
The next game would be in L.A. So yeah. The Suns would travel today to go to Los Angeles. So I don't think that he would travel if it was today. He's there now. I don't think he would travel to Phoenix just to get on a plane and go back to L.A. I think that they would just do everything there. They would have the capabilities to do that. But I don't know if he was, you know, the speculation on him wearing a mask during the FaceTime thing is interesting. I just don't know where he was at that time. Like I said, Max, the only thing, you know, and it's just not a lot of information coming out because it is health and safety protocols and it is the player, his information that needs to be protected. It's just that they're optimistic and here's the steps that would have to go for him to play. But, it's interesting. It wasn't about, hey, he needs to pass two negative tests or he needs to have. Now, I've heard he's had no symptoms. So there's been some mixed reports about that. But I've heard from several people there were no symptoms. There was a report that he had a fever. But again, today, you know, it wasn't about, oh, my goodness, he still has to pass two negative tests. The conversation I had today was more about he still has to pass this cardiac screening in order to be able to play.
Super Bowl champion Max Starks, Gambo from Burns and Gambo, here on with Doug and Wolf. Gambo, I know you're not reporting this, but I am asking you to guess because you're a knowledgeable dude that knows a lot of people. Where do you think Chris Paul is this morning?
I don't know.
Okay.
If you're asking me to
I didn't
guess,
know if you had a guess.
No, I mean, it would just be speculation and guesses. You know, there are people out there that thought he came in yesterday. Apparently, there's information on a private plane. And the mask thing is interesting, Doug. I mean,
I agree.
If he's wearing a mask, he's not at home with his, you know, wife and kids, I wouldn't think. Or maybe. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where he is. The only thing that matters to me is where he is tomorrow, and hopefully it's on the court in Los Angeles. But speculating on where, I just don't know. It's not something I have the info. I don't have any information on where he is.
Okay, listen, I've never broken my nose. I can tell you that right now, boys. But, Max, maybe you busted your nose, of course. And, Johnny, I'm sure you busted yours, right? Boxing and whatever.
He looked like a prize fighter last night.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Man, he looked like
going.
A prize fighter.
Do you think he busted it? Do you think his nose is broken?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well. No, I know it's broken.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. His nose is broken.
Yeah.
When your nose looks like his nose, your nose is broken.
But you had that thing packed up, man.
I sent him a text last night after I got home, and I put one of my boxing pitches in there, and I said, hey, welcome to the club.
That's Gambo and Max Starks joining Doug and Wolf in the locker room. Max, follow up on that. What do you think of a guy with a potential broken nose that is setting back screens on centers to free up somebody else to take the last shot when you're the superstar and everyone assumes you're going to be the one to take the last shot?
Listen, it takes a lot of leadership and it takes a lot of maturity to be in that position, to know the stakes. And, you know, Devin Booker was like, listen, whatever it takes. And I think that's also a testament, I think, to his maturity as a player. And, you know, I think the effect that CP3 has had on him. To know that you don't have to score all the points. You just have to put everybody else in position to score all the points. Because at the end of the day, you need one more point than the other team. And if this is the best size advantage in this moment, because everybody's looking at you, you're going to get the double team. And to hit a three-pointer from 25, 30 feet out is not the best shot, but a lob to your 7-foot center who's been dominating all game is the better shot, then yes. Okay, set the screen. Make sure my nose is out of it, right? Just like how they talk about safe tackling now. You know, eyes up, head out, and just give him that chicken wing and just enough so that DeAndre has a little bit of an advantage. And, I mean, for Devin Booker, it wasn't his greatest statistical game, but from a leadership standpoint, to come back, get up, and take the stitches and keep on going, it was a true mental, I think, boost for him. A lot of guys got a mental boost last night. I mean, you just look at the confidence the campaign plays with as well. And then D.A. having the type of game that he had, the rebounding that he did, the effort on defense.
He was so great.
You can't overstate it.
Was amazing.
You can't overstate
you can.
How important that is, especially for young guys.
Mm. He was phenomenal. Hey, Gambo, thanks for the report. If anything else happens, call us back.
You got it, boys. Take
Absolutely.
Care.
There's
Thank
Gambo.
You,
we got
Thanks,
more
Gambo.
With Max Starks coming up in just a second. Continuing the Suns playoff talks with Max, here's what we want to know. He's a big man, great high school basketball player in Florida. What is Max Starks seeing from DA? and the development of another great big man, possibly. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship.
Crowder waiting with it, lobs it underneath.
Yes!
It's good. DeAndre Ayton scores the basket over the rim and in.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt-Lifter.
The Suns are up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Doug and Wolf talk Suns Clippers now.
Our own Max Starks, you might not be aware, hardcore basketball guy, great Florida high school basketball player, formerly an Orlando Magic ball boy. And did you ever drive Shaquille O'Neal's car? I don't remember, Max.
No. But okay. I did ride in the limo with Penny Hardaway.
Oh, okay. That's player right there.
Yeah, well, you know, and here's the funny thing. So I will say this. My rec league basketball team, were in the semifinals this weekend coming up on Sunday. So semifinals and championships, baby. Come on, Sun Valley Athleisures. Let's do it.
Athleisures. The Athleisures. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're a winner on that one, beyond a shadow of a doubt. The argument of the patience with the big man, what we are seeing – we've seen big men struggle earlier in their careers and play like DeAndre Ayton, but it's after an off season or several off seasons. This man was getting benched about 2 months ago for the fourth quarter because there were five people on the Suns roster that were better options to win a game in the fourth quarter by not the word of his head coach, but by the actions of his head coach. Now we're looking at a young man who's the most dominant force on the court for almost 13 games. What are you seeing from DA, Max?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I'm seeing that maturity. And also, I think it's also the addition of Chris Paul, right? When you have that point guard, I mean, we talk about some of the greatest big men. You need that point guard who can help elevate your game, put you in the best position to be successful on the offensive side of the board. But then it comes down to heart and hustle when it comes on the defensive side. And I think the addition of Chris Paul, right, having that big brother type of mentor there at the point guard position, also in his ear, letting him know what he needs to do to motivate him. And it has truly transformed his game. You look at last year and it was like, oh, he's getting better, but it's still a little bit more finessey. Now he is physical. He's putting his frame in front of guys. He's learning positioning for box outs. He's fighting for that rebound with other big centers. And he has the athleticism and the finesse to also get around that and avoid the trappings of normal big men, right? You know, where you're just big, plodding. Mm-hmm. Like, he can jump in the air, contort his body. I mean, we saw last night, right, that series right there, what was that, at the 657 mark to 457 mark in the third quarter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was amazing.
Yes. He makes the play, makes the block, dives out of bounds, tosses it back, and then gets down the court in a position to then pass it off for a play. So the fact that he could do all of that in the span of the length of the basketball court, make an effect on defense, and then recover to get back on offense to make a play, when obviously everybody else is breaking down court, to have that type of ability, that's a want to. That's a mental mind space to be in. That's not just, oh, yeah, I'm just here doing my job. No, that was like, I will not be denied. And that's something that we questioned early on with DA, especially when we made the thing that, you know, I'm an entertainer and not a basketball.
Yes.
No, you played like a basketball player last night.
Yes,
you played
did.
Like a dominant big man should. And it was so refreshing. It was so fun to see because he was just in there and just making countless bucket after bucket. He was efficient and he was physical, and nobody wanted to go on his side. They were trying to pull him out with small ball. They were trying to pull him out the court because, like, dude, this dude is owning the paint right now on us, and we need to free up so we can get some of our mid-range and short-range shots.
One of the axioms I like in professional sports is confidence is the currency of competition. And when you see DeAndre Ayton and the confidence just blooming the way that it is right now, you know what I think, Max? I don't think we're ever going to see DeAndre Ayton go back to the DeAndre Ayton that we saw prior to these playoffs. I think he's changed forever. Your thoughts on it?
I think so as well, because now he knows he can do it, right? You have the capacity. It's one thing to question if you can or can't do it, but then when you physically go out and do it, and then you also realize, this isn't as hard as I thought it would be. That's what you want, and that's what I think he's lacking. Because you think about this. The guys that come in the league now, the young men and the ones we saw with the draft lottery about speculation. I mean, you play 1 year in college basketball. That doesn't give you the barometer. You don't grow. You're still growing. Technically, DeAndre should have been a senior this year in college, you know? And that's where the difference between basketball and football and a lot of your more mature sports, where you realize that, you know, you do need experience. You do need experience. You do need to go through some things to figure it out, right, Ron? You know, you got to you got to mess it up a couple times before you get
Max,
it right.
Don't you remember when you were young, when you were a rookie maybe, and you were playing in the NFL, where it was just you and the pillow at about 2:30 in the morning, and for whatever reason you were up, and suddenly you just said to yourself, I can do this. You know what I mean? How important was that to you and your growth? Because I certainly remember what it was like.
Well, it's paramount because I remember before I went to my first rookie training camp with the Steelers, I remember going through the history, just reading through the last couple of years of drafts and how everything went. And I saw a dude, it said there, I'll never forget it. It was in 1999. The Steelers cut a second-round draft pick by the name of Chris Ferris in training camp. So wow. I was like, oh, my God, if they can cut a second round, man, I could get cut. And I just remember being so nervous going into training camp. I was like, I can't mess up. I'm going to get cut. I'm going to go home. This is going to end before it starts. And then I remember sitting in my dorm room up there in Latrobe, and I just remember – at nighttime, I just rolled because, you know, I had a roommate, Nathaniel Adebe from VTech. He was a fifth rounder. And I just remember rolling to the cement wall because our beds were, all, you know, into the walls on the sides. And I just looked in that wall and I was like, you know what? I can do this. I had just gone up against Clark Hagans and Joey Porter in one-on-ones. And I got the better of Clark, and Joey and I had a good battle in camp. So I was like, I can do this. I'm meant to play in this league.
And then there are stages that occur in your career from that point forward, correct?
Yes. Yes. Once you get to the general acceptance phase, right?
Yes.
You know, that, hey, I'm good enough to be here. Then it's, am I good enough to start in this league? And then that kind of happened.
And this is what we've seen from DA. This is what we've seen, Max.
And yet,
we have.
What drives me nuts is the amount of people that aren't willing to look at the job that CP3 and Monty Williams and the whole organization has done to get him here, because they were treating him with a lot of kid gloves. And everyone was saying, be nice to DA, be nice, be nice. And the organization this year did something different. Hard coaching. I mean, remember, preseason game. And Monty Williams is saying, I thought DA didn't rebound with the intensity and the physicality we're looking for. Things like that was calling him out, or in his case, as he phrases it, calling him up. And so many people are afraid nowadays of hard coaching. And yet, guess why we're here? Why are we in the Western Conference Finals? Because of the job they did with DeAndre Ayton. And you have to ask the question, would we have the same DA now if it wasn't for CP3 and Monty? My answer to that question is no. What about you, Max?
Absolutely not. Because, you know, when you go through the process of hard coaching, when you go through the process of knowing how a player thinks, it's not all niceties. Like, I get, you know, now we're in the era where, you know, it's like, hey, you can't say certain things, but it's not about cussing someone out, right? Using expletives to get them to do something or berating them as a man. No, it's about pointing out deficiencies and helping and giving them solutions. That's where the difference is between what people kind of think of what hard coaching is. It's calling you out of your name. It's degrading you and this and that. No, it can also be, hey, he didn't live up to par. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. He needs to do this better. And then you go into practice, you talk to the said player about it, and you give him solutions and you give him help. That's what hard coaching is. It's not being afraid to call a cat a cat and a duck a duck, at times. That's what it is. It's an accountability factor, not a degradation factor.
It's just telling somebody the truth in a very straightforward kind of way.
I totally agree. Yeah. Max Starks joining us in the locker room. We're just talking ball, almost all Suns today. Coming up next, that pass from Jay Crowder was about 2 inches away from hitting the backboard. I tell you, the Clippers are used to being down 0-2 in every series. Is there any chance yesterday was deflating enough that the series is over? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns Clippers now.
You didn't hear about Game 3, Suns-Clippers. No official word on Chris Paul. But Gambo, I don't like to say the word reporting on this, but he is telling you the inside of the Suns. There's optimism. He says there's a lot of optimism on the Suns within the walls of Phoenix Suns Arena that Chris Paul will play his Game 1 tomorrow night in Game 3.
Yeah, okay, so we know that Chris Paul was back in L.A. with his family, correct, Douglas?
According to a report,
and that's something that I would tend to believe, and maybe the doctors for the Phoenix Suns have actually gone to L.A.
Maybe, or maybe he's just getting checked out at somewhere else because he's already got the negative test, and then he's got to get the cardio, and you could probably do that at a hospital, a doctor's office, whatever, in L.A. So we'll get you the latest on that when we know it. We're inside the locker room with our good friend Max Starks. He has rings from the Super Bowl, but he's also hardcore basketball guy, and the Athleisures have a big game coming up this weekend, so he's still playing rec ball as well. If you see the out-of-bounds angle of the Valley Oop from the corner, it is an unbelievable view of the perfection of the Jay Crowder pass on how close it came to hitting the backboard. That ball hits the backboard. It either goes out-of-bounds on the side, and if it does that, it's Clippers ball underneath the basket. Or it touches somebody, and there's no chance to get the ball and put a shot in. So it's 1-1 in the series. Instead, it's 2-0. And, Max, I understand the Clippers are very used to this. 2-0 down to the Mavs, they win. 2-0 down in the last series to the Jazz, and they win. Yet, don't you feel like last night was so deflating and with an all-star meltdown from Paul George that it's like their whole season is wrapped up into this first quarter, and if they don't play well, this series could be another Suns and four?
Yeah, no. I mean, this is a different series than the Jazz, right? You know, you look at Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is not DeAndre Ayton, and Devin Booker is you know, as much as you know, you want to make comparisons to Donovan Mitchell and everything else. Donovan Mitchell is an amazing player, but Devin Booker just has that killer instinct. And here's the thing: they had plenty of assistance. Campaign had a campaign last night, right? I mean, what he was able to do, how he flustered, frustrated, and got after anybody who was guarding him. He's so quick. He's so dynamic when he's exploding towards the rim. And his shot has just matured much. It's still ugly as all get out, right? I mean, I still don't understand the biophysical part of that or biomechanics of his shot, but it goes in. I mean, those floaters off the glass, kissing the glass, and it's a different type of beast that they're up against in the Suns. And they were quote-unquote shorthanded, right, because you didn't have Chris Paul. And that is something that, you know, there's not enough on the L.A. Clippers side without Kawhi Leonard. You've got to have that second all-star. Now, granted, Reggie Jackson's been playing out of his mind. He has been absolutely phenomenal. Role players have stepped up. But there's something about having the elite guy on the court. And when you have two elite guys and a support role guy who's playing an elite role or playing at elite level, there's not enough guys. Paul George can only guard one guy, you know. And Patrick Beverley he's the intensity guy, but there's no big man to go with. Zubac can't go with him. Boogie Cousins can't defend D.A. So now there's an eternal mismatch with DeAndre Ayton in the low block. And you still have to pay attention to Devin Booker because regardless if he had a good shooting night or a bad shooting night, he's always a threat. So you must commit 1.5 defenders to him at all times. And that's where L.A. just doesn't have enough bodies and doesn't have enough elite star power to keep up with them. And if you add CP3 and just call it good night, and you could say Suns in four, that fan was right. His action figure is going to go on sale because it's going to be a blowout in L.A.
Did you see, by the way, the same company that put that action figure out there, they put an action figure out there of the guy who got beat up?
No.
Did you see that?
Yes.
No, I'm serious.
It's amazing trollmanship by that company.
Eager Edgar is what they're calling him right now, but I digress on that. I love the toughness that I'm seeing from the Suns. You know, Max, honestly, a lot of people like to talk about their talent, and rightfully so. A lot of people like to talk about the team that they are, how they share the ball and how they play on defense, and rightfully so. But I don't think enough people talk about the toughness. Your view on that?
No, you're spot on. The toughness is something that you don't necessarily equate with the last couple of iterations of the Suns teams.
Right.
Right? It was always something questionable. They're going to fold their tent if you punch them in the mouth. Well, now they're like, no, I bought this mouth guard, and I have this headgear, and guess what? I have the big boy gloves. I have the heavy gloves on because I'm going to deliver some blows to you, and I want to see if you can take what we have.
Yep.
And I think that's the other thing that people don't look at. This was the second best record in the NBA, one of the best road records in the NBA this season.
The best.
This team is not what you were expecting. This isn't your cousin, your older cousin's son's team. Like, this is your uncle's. This is your dad's. This is those type of Suns teams, but they're even smarter and better than those previous ones because you have athleticism spread throughout, and you have role players who have confidence. That's the other thing. It's normally when a guy gets injured, you bring in a role player, and he doesn't have experience. You know, he's kind of questioning himself. He's just there not to mess up. But they have guys, when Cam Johnson steps in the game, when Cam Payne steps in the game, they have confidence. I'm going to go in. Šarić, when he gets in, he's like, I'm going to go because I have the confidence and I have the experience to go along with it and know how to compliment them because it's not about get it to one guy and pray he makes it in. It's we're all weapons at any point, and I just need to make a play and make myself available either if they're up at the top of the key. I need to make sure I'm knifing into the lane. I'm creating my own shot opportunities and make sure when I do, I hit the elbow jumper because that's going to be free. Right from the no charge zone to the free throw line, that's a sweet spot when you're spreading guys out. And so to have that type of confidence to be able to knife in and not be like, oh my gosh, if I knife in, am I going to run into campaign? Or am I going to run into CP3 in this? It's like, no, if he's standing at the top of the key kind of scanning, get in there, make yourself available. And I think that's the difference that we're seeing with this team. They're moving and they know how to move without the ball. Whereas in years past, it would have been, okay, just sit back. Let's see what Devin Booker's going to do.
You know,
let's give him the ISO.
One of the really interesting questions that it brings up is, does Wolf know that there's another beautiful part of the program coming up?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure about that. During the Independence Day holiday, blood donations are at the lowest level of the summer. Please donate at Vitalin's Saving Arizona Blood Drive on Saturday, July 3rd from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. It'll be at the Tempe Center for the Arts. You'll be thanked with a free Whataburger voucher and a complimentary ticket to a future Coyotes game. More with Max coming up, plus Bickley and Murata crosstalk, and the most exciting moment in Vince Murata's life when thousands of people cheered for him to say,
after video review, basket counts.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Bickley and Murata join Doug and Wolf to talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals. Suns playoff crosstalk.
Max Starks joining us, Bickley and Murata, live in the Octane Community Studios. And all the years now, Dan Bickley, that you've gotten to know Vince Murata, has anybody ever made noise like this when Vince spoke?
After video review, basket counts. Game clock will be reset to 0.7.
I mean, you think he'd just walk around saying that to everybody for that kind of attention?
I think I kind of freaked Vinny out after the game when I was trying to put my thoughts to paper, if you will. I started thinking about how do I explain that drama and what that felt like and the suspense. And I thought, my man Vinny plays a role in this because he begins to give the call and he pauses. And then he gives the call, and the place goes insane. So I and Vinny's excellent at what he does, obviously. I was curious if Scott Foster was just yapping or what the deal was, so I texted him right after that moment. I said, dude, what happened there? Just curious, right? And but it's that for my man to get caught in the middle of that, okay?
The valley oop.
For my man to get in the middle of that, waiting for Scott Foster. Now, the thing that's interesting is because I did not know this, but you said that you knew that the basket was going to count because you were aware of the rule.
Yes,
I would venture to guess.
I was doing PA on the Jay Triano play where Dragan Bender threw it. And at that time, I didn't know the rule. And I actually went back and watched the video of that play. I never announced the basket.
The Clippers didn't know the rule.
They were giving the signal.
Look at it.
Marcus Morris was at the scorer's table working the officials during that whole video review saying, it doesn't count. It's basket interference. They didn't know the rule.
No.
And the Suns capitalized on all of it.
Max, I want to bring you in on this one, Max, because here's my opinion. I've seen thousands of players in sports not know rules. But since Jay Triano just did this 4 years ago, isn't it Ty Lue's job as a head coach to inform his team right there, hey, they're allowed to do this? I understand maybe not knowing the rule once, but since the whole league should have seen that, don't you rely as a former player on your coach to warn you about an obscure rule that could come up in a specific situation?
Yeah, you're supposed to plan for any case scenarios. I mean, you know, we look at football, right, when you're working on two-point play conversions. You know, you're looking from the past. And you might dial up a play that was 3 years ago. And so it's the job of your DC to look at all of the plays that this organization, this team has ever pulled off successfully. And so I look at the two-point play like the out-of-bounds plays, right? You have to know what they're capable of, know where it is situational awareness-wise. The lob should be one of the most obvious ones anytime you are not directly under the basket inbounding. You should always have a thought about how you should defend it. And I was surprised, and Tim Legler pointed this out last night because I was thinking it, was why wasn't Boogie Cousins more shaded to the inside? They had him shaded because they were thinking Devin Booker was going to get a three-point opportunity.
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, I would say a three-point opportunity.
And Wolf knows this, and Max, you know this, because you played the game in moments of chaos like that. Those kind of things aren't that cut and dry. You just don't think that clearly and communicate everything you need to communicate. And even if Ty Lue did know, maybe his players weren't listening. So, you know, it's a lot deeper than just blaming Ty Lue for not informing his players in a moment like that, because I think you're looking for Devin Booker, number one.
We call that the Eric Bledsoe factor. When he comes out after the game and says, yeah, I wasn't paying attention.
Right.
But you can tell by your point, Vince, about Marcus Morris and the other players that immediately did the home run signal for goaltending, that they didn't know the rule.
No.
So I'm okay with Ty Lue guessing, hey, I think Devin Booker's going to take the last shot, and where Cousins was shaded, but not knowing the rule.
Right.
And I think the coaches didn't know the rule.
But I think it's not just the coach that you look at. It's also some of the older players that have
been
around as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, get in the huddle, Patrick Beverley.
The Clippers have a lot of those guys. And Patrick Beverley strikes you as a guy that knows every little wrinkle and rule in the book. And you're right.
He exploits every one of them.
I don't let Ty Lue off the hook here, actually, because with that amount of time remaining, that's a really tough ask to inbound the ball and get a shot, a legitimate shot from Devin Booker. You have to be guarding the rim right there. It was a really well-designed play by Monty Williams, and it was executed perfectly.
More so, in that situation, you still have assistant coaches on that bench as well to say, hey, you might want to protect the rim more than this. You know, have Zubat sack.
Well,
you know, have Boogie shift a little bit more.
Not only shift, be a little more active. I mean, Boogie just stood there with his arms up. I'm like, yeah, that was a. I mean, it was a colossal.
Boogie didn't get physical until the game was over, and then decided, oh, yeah,
To Max's point, there's a couple of assistants on that staff, Kenny Atkinson, Larry Drew, who have been head coaches for a long time.
But ultimately, it is Ty Lue's responsibility.
It is.
Ultimately, it must be Larry.
Yeah, ultimately, it is. Yeah. Ultimately, it is.
I'm totally with you. All right, we got about 90 seconds or so. Max, you're first. Game three. What do you expect in game three?
I'm expecting Chris Paul to be present at the game and to have an effect because he's going up against his old squad and he has some feelings to get out of his chest.
Yeah. I don't know where the Clippers are going to go after their best player bricked a couple of free throws in that situation with Paul George. I think they've got to try to reconcile that before they even have a chance at coming back in the series.
Oh, come on, Bick. You didn't listen to Skip Bayless today? Paul George was awesome down the stretch and the Clippers got screwed.
Yeah.
I'll never understand that. We've all had opinions we wish we could take back in this career.
But to have one every day has got to be something.
And here's the thing. There's no way he's an idiot. He's a smart guy. He just makes crap up for attention without any worry about
zero
name.
Respect for that.
Yeah,
and the fact that Eddie Johnson wants to slap him and said so publicly, right?
I just wonder if there's any COVID hangover for Chris Paul. That's my only concern.
Yeah.
Only concern that I have.
I'm concerned for him and his health. I'm not concerned for the Suns, though. Because, if there's then he plays limited minutes and we still have campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I mean, this guy was in the Chinese League. He scored 29 points in game two.
And they
no turnovers.
No answers for him at all.
The head coach even admitted that.
Yeah.
Ty Lue saying we had no answers. It's still crazy. All right, Bickley and Murata coming up in just a second. Thanks, guys, for hopping in.
Our pleasure, boys.
Max, don't go anywhere because you're in the U.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about
the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is as great as DeAndre Ayton is, we still have this moment.
Our ball. Okay, execute it. The eight. If he throws it, you got to, try to dunk it, okay?
Max?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I learned a couple new box out moves from DA, and I'm going to use those this weekend. So thank you, DA, for the tutorial.
Okay, Basinonians, the Suns are up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals for the first time in team history. Peace and strength.